Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 3, and today is verse 26. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Devim Saraswati. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasutim Vyasam. Tato Jaya Mudirayat. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should first offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayana, Adinar Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and Srila Prabhupada, our dear spiritual master and translator and commentator. Evam Vimsriya Sudiyo Bhagavati Anante Sarvatmana Vidadhate Kalu Bhava Yogam Te Me Na Dandam Arhanti Ata Yadi Amisang Syat Pratakam Tad Api Hanti Urughaya Vadaha Evam Vimsriya Sudiyo Bhagavatanante Sarvatmana Virate Kalubhava Yogam Te Mena Dandam Arantyata Yadyangi Sam Syatpata Kamtad Apyahantyurughaya Vada Evam Vimrisya Sudiyo Bhagavatyanante Sarvatmana Virate Kalubhava Yogam Te Mena Dandam Harantyatya Dhyani Yamisam Syatpata Kamtar Apihantyurugaya Vada. Devotees, please chant. Evam Vimrisya Sudiyo Bhagavatyanante Sarvatmana Viradate Kalubhava Yogam Te me nadandam haram kiratyo sam Syat pata kam tadapihan tirugaya vada. Vam vimrisya suriyo bhagavatyanante Sarvatmana viradate kalubhava yogam Dame Nandam Haryantyadyadyami Sam Satpatakam Tadapihantyurugaya Vada. Matajis? Evam Vimrisya Sudiyo Bhagavatyanante Vatma word for word. Evam, thus. Vimrishya, considering. Tudiya, those whose intelligence is sharp. Bhagavati, under the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anante, the unlimited. Sarva Atmana, with all their heart and soul. Idhate, take two. Kalu, indeed. Bhava Yogam, the process of devotional service. Te, such persons. Me, my. Na, not. Dandam, punishment. Arhanti, deserve. Ata, therefore. Yadi, if. Amisam, of them. Syat, there is. Patakam, some sinful activity. Tat, that. Api, also. Hanti, destroys. Udugaya Vada, the chanting of the holy name of the Supreme Lord. Translation. Considering all these points, therefore, intelligent men decide to solve all problems by adopting the devotional service of chanting the holy name of the Lord, who is situated in everyone's heart and who is a mine of all auspicious qualities. Such persons are not within my jurisdiction for punishment. Generally, they never commit sinful activities. But even if by mistake or because of bewilderment or illusion, they sometimes commit sinful acts, they are protected from sinful reactions because they always chant the Hare Krishna mantra. I say, you say. Considering all these points, therefore, intelligent men decide to solve all problems by adopting the devotional service of chanting the holy name of the Lord, who is situated in everyone's heart and who is a mine of all auspicious qualities. Such persons are not within my jurisdiction for punishment. Generally, they never commit sinful activities. But even if by mistake or because of bewilderment or illusion, they sometimes commit sinful acts, they are protected from sinful reactions because they always chant the Hare Krishna mantra. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. In this regard, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur quotes the following verse from the prayers of Lord Brahma, from the Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 14, Verse 29. Atapi te deva parambuja dvaya prashara leshan nugrihita eva hi janati tadvam bhagavan mahimno nachanya eko apichiram vichinvan. The purport is that even though one is a very learned scholar in the Vedic Shastras, he may be completely unaware of the existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His name, fame, qualities, and so forth. Whereas one who is not a great scholar can understand the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead if he somehow or other becomes a pure devotee of the Lord by engaging in devotional service. Therefore, this verse spoken by Yamaraj says, Evam Vimrishya Sudhiyo Bhagavati. Those who engage in the loving service of the Lord become sudhiya, intelligent. But this is not so of a Vedic scholar who does not understand Krishna's name, fame, and qualities. A pure devotee is one whose intelligence is clear. He is truly thoughtful because he engages in the service of the Lord, not as a matter of show, but with love, with his mind, words, and body. Non-devotees make a show of religion, but it is not very effective, because although they ostentatiously attend a temple or church, they are thinking of something else. Such persons are neglecting their religious duty and are punishable by Yamaraj. But a devotee who commits sinful acts, which he may do unwillingly or accidentally because of his former habits, is excused. That is the value of the Sankirtan movement. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Considering all these points, therefore, intelligent men decide to solve all problems by adopting the devotional service of chanting the holy name of the Lord, who is situated in everyone's heart and who is a mine of all auspicious qualities. Such persons are not within my jurisdiction for punishment. Generally, they never commit sinful activities, but even if by mistake or because of bewilderment or illusion, they sometimes commit sinful acts, they are protected from sinful reactions because they always chant the Hare Krishna mantra. Oma jnana tamanandasya gnanjana salakaya chakshur unmilitam jena tasmai shi gurave namaha. I was born in the darkest, deepest depths of ignorance, but my eternal spiritual master, Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivrajikacharya, Ashtatara Sarishi Shimad, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivananda Swami Srila Prabhupada, has forced my eyes open with the torchlight of knowledge. Therefore, I offer my most humble obeisances under His lotus feet. How could I ever forget His mercy upon me? This is probably one of the most important sections of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, at least in my mind, for me. I mean, we're reading all these verses, one after the other, after the other, after the other, that's simply talking about the importance and the potency of chanting the holy name of the Lord. And I guess for myself, the kind of inconceivable part of this is that although hearing so much from pure devotees and previous acharyas and so many evidences here in the Bhagavatam, and after having been so experienced within the material world, within so many lifetimes here, including this short lifetime, as to the horrors of being entrapped by the material energy and forced to follow the dictation of the mind and the senses, still I don't have much of an attraction for chanting the holy names of the Lord. It's said that the Paramaishvarya, or the supreme opulence of the Lord, is His mercy towards His devotees. And certainly without that causeless mercy, where would we be? Where would I be? I have no idea, but can only assume I'd be someplace deep within the material energy, suffering again and again. Lord Brahma says in his prayers to Krishna that, "My Lord, if one is favored by even a slight trace of the mercy of your lotus feet," and this is the verse Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport here. I thought I'd read the translation. Lord Brahma prayed, "My Lord, if one is favored by even a slight trace of the mercy of your lotus feet, he can understand the greatness of your personality. But those who speculate in order to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead are unable to know you, even though they continue to study the Vedas for many years." This is a current theme within yesterday's verse specifically, and this verse also. And so it's the wonderful aspect of Kali Yuga. In fact, there's that famous verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the second canto. And I believe it's Shukadeva Goswami speaking, who says, O King, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the ways of the great authorities is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all, including those who are free from all material desires, those who are desirous of all material enjoyment, and those who are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge. And he states also that that is the, although the age of Kali is an ocean of faults, there is that one good quality that simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one can gain all perfection. And so in relation with that, we can understand have a sense of the extreme mercy of the Lord in Kali Yuga. And the extreme mercy of ourselves who just look at the backgrounds we've come from to Krishna consciousness. And where was the hope at all by a gradual process of studying the Vedas and executing our duties, you know, in terms of karmakanda and jnanakanda, gradually, you know, being purified and coming to the point of understanding the importance of devotional servants and understanding the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We had no hope of that. And yet here we are, sitting in Srimad Bhagavatam class in front of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the mercy of the pure devotee and his representatives. It is incredible, inconceivable mercy. And therefore, the most dangerous thing and the most unfortunate situation for us would be to somehow or other forget that mercy. And yet, speaking for myself, why do I keep going on with such a lackadaisical attitude, thinking that, you know, one of these days I'll get the sincerity to execute Krishna consciousness sincerely. That somehow or other, sometime, I'll become sincere in executing my devotional activities. Attitude, as even in this world, within the, you know, the outside world, there's a saying, they say, attitude is everything. They talk about the importance of attitude. And certainly in Krishna consciousness, that especially holds true. Attitude, we can say, comes from the mind. Our thinking, feeling, and willing creates our attitude. Therefore, the control of the mind is a central point of the whole yoga system. And as Krishna says, when the mind is reached, is conquered, the super soul is automatically reached. And the attitude is forged by faith. We can certainly consider that our faith, or lack thereof, creates the attitude we have. And just like steel is placed within a very hot fire, and eventually that steel becomes red hot, then it becomes white hot. And when it becomes that hot over time, then the blacksmith can smash his hammer on the steel and forge a very, very sharp blade. When in the beginning it just started off as cold, dull steel. So similarly, through this process of devotional service, our desires, or we can say our mind, is forged. And as we enter the fire of sadhana bhakti, we become more and more purified. We can't help it. And we can't help it because the process itself is non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And yet, it is said that one can continue chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra for lifetimes and lifetimes and lifetimes and still not get the goal of the chanting, pure love of Godhead. So, therefore, faith, our faith is the most a most important thing in our advancement of Krishna consciousness. And what does faith mean? Srila Prabhupada says in Bhagavad Gita that faith is created in the association of devotees or by the association of devotees. I can't remember exactly how he puts it. But we experience that every day. I know myself, when I go and I do my sadhana by myself, I get a certain result. But when I come in the association of devotees, the power of the benefit I get is multiplied exponentially. In fact, in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the purport, Srila Prabhupada states that one who thinks he can become Krishna conscious separate from the association of the devotees, he's living in a great hallucination. So it's said that faith is created by the association of devotees. Therefore, association of devotees is so important. Therefore, understanding that principle, it's said that we should desire and endeavor to associate with those devotees who are more advanced than ourselves. Because the devotee is explained as like a touchstone. A touchstone is that substance that whatever it touches, it turns to gold. And certainly that was our experience with Srila Prabhupada. Without really understanding what this was all about or what he was all about, simply by his association, we immediately became Krishna conscious, even without desiring it, even without practically endeavoring it for it, even just really just being there in his association. I remember, and I've mentioned this before, but I remember because it was so striking, the first time I was able to go on a walk with Srila Prabhupada, I was a new devotee. And although philosophically I was convinced and I was getting some taste from chanting and things, still I wanted some type of a personal recognition and confirmation that Srila Prabhupada, you know, really was my spiritual master and this is something I really should be doing. In some place within the morning walk, Srila Prabhupada stopped, planted his cane, looked directly at me in right to my soul. And when I looked in him, it was as if I traveled in my mind because Srila Prabhupada is Tri Kalagya, somehow I traveled some out place out in the distant future, and I could understand that all the answers to my existence, past, present, and future, Srila Prabhupada contained the answer within him. So this is the power of the association of devotees, and yet we must associate to get that benefit within the proper mindset. And that means to become self-critical. If we find ourselves throughout the day being in situations where you know, we're being chastised or we're, you know, getting the brunt end of devotees' criticism and it's agitating us and, you know, we're talking back, it incites our angers, then we should understand that perhaps we are not being enough self-critical ourselves. This is the essence of what we're doing, to become self-critical. This is not simply a club to enjoy nice foodstuffs and nice be around nice, friendly people. This is not the purpose of what we're doing. What we're doing and what we're chanting, what we're practicing, is the absolute topmost yoga system. How much endeavor does it take for the otherwise highest yogi, to attain the highest realization, what kind of austerities and penances must he execute to achieve the realization of just, you know, a slight, you know, glance of the light emanating from the toenail of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? How much endeavor does he have to do to attain that? And what kind of endeavor do we have to do to in this Kali Yuga to attain love of God? It's inconceivable, the mercy that we have. And so we should always be considering our good fortune and think, what can we do to make ourselves worthy of such incredible good fortune? George Harrison says in his famous song that, "Oh Lord, I really want to know you, but it takes so long, my Lord." And so this is the situation we're confronted with, that, you know, we execute the process of devotional service every day, but how often does our mind say, "Again? You're going to do this again? I mean, you've been doing this for a long time, and, you know, you're really not getting a taste for this. There's a lot of other things you could be doing to get, like, an immediate taste." So that immediate taste is what we want. Lord Chaitanya says this gives us a taste for the nectar that we're anxious for at every moment. And we can get that taste at every moment. Simply, we have to follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. And in that regard, there's some very nice prayers I wanted to read from some of our Mahajans. Beginning with Prahlad Maharaj, he prayed that, "How is it possible for me, who have been born in a family of asuras, to offer suitable prayers to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead?" And we can catch this vision within our mind. Is that here's Prahlad Maharaj, a 5-year-old boy, the son of the greatest demon in the entire universe, who's been put through so many tortures, trying to kill him in so many ways. Finally, his father is about to chop his head off with his sword, and Lord Nrsingadev, Personality of Godhead himself, appears from the pillar and saves him. All the demigods are there. The Lord is so angry, they can't appease him. So they push little Prahlad, 5-year-old Prahlad Maharaj, forward to appease the Lord with prayers. And Prahlad saying, "How is it possible for me, who have been born in a family of asuras, to offer suitable prayers to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Even until now, all the demigods, headed by Lord Brahma, and all the saintly persons could not satisfy the Lord by streams of excellent words, although such persons are very qualified, being in the mode of goodness. Then what is to be said of me? I am not at all qualified." Prahlad Maharaj continued, "that one may possess wealth and aristocratic birth in an aristocratic family, beauty, austerity, education, sensory expertise, luster, influence, physical strength, diligence, intelligence, and mystic yoga power. But I think that even by all these qualifications, one cannot satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, one can satisfy the Lord simply by devotional service. Gajendra did this, and thus the Lord was satisfied with him." Prahlad Maharaj continued, "Therefore, although I was born in a demoniac family, I may without a doubt offer prayers to the Lord with full endeavor, as far as my intelligence allows. Anyone who has been forced by ignorance to enter the material world may be purified of material life if he offers prayers to the Lord and hears the Lord's glories." In this regard to what Srila Prabhupada mentions in the end of the purport, a devotee who commits sinful acts, which we may do unwillingly or accidentally because of his former habits, he is excused. That is the value of the Sankirtan movement. In this regard, Karabhajana Yogendra instructs Maharaj Nimi in the 11th canto, chapter 5, text 42, that one who has thus given up all other engagements and has taken full shelter of the lotus feet of Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is very dear to the Lord. Indeed, if such a surrendered soul accidentally commits some sinful activity, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is seated within everyone's heart, immediately takes away the reaction to such sin. What kind of great personality is that? What kind of friend do we have that will do that? We've been reading so many evidences throughout this canto of Srimad Bhagavatam how this prayaschitta does not work because it will not uproot the cause of committing sinful activities. And yet when one surrenders to the Supreme Personality of God, it engages in his devotional service. Even if one, by just like Srila Prabhupada explains, that just like, you know, the fan is unplugged, so the, you know, our the root of our sinful activities may be pulled out, and yet because of past sinful activity and some images within the mind, somehow or other, because of circumstances, one may become influenced and again commit sinful activities. But now here's Krishna, because he's so appreciative of what we're doing for him, of that we're chanting his name, that we're endeavoring to surrender to him and follow his instructions, he immediately frees us from the results of that accidental sinful activities. Therefore, how much grateful we should be. And therefore, how can we exhibit our gratitude? What do we have to do to be able to try to deserve the incredible mercy that we have? Sri Krishna, the Personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma Super Soul in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who have developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. The benefactor of the truthful devotee. What does it mean to be truthful? And when we hear the instruction of the spiritual master, are we going to act according to that instruction? And what is the most intimate instruction, or we can say the highest instruction, of the spiritual master? We have to go out on Sankirtan. That's how we can pay off the obligation we owe to our spiritual master, because we came to Krishna consciousness somehow or other through the Sankirtan movement, a devotee distributing a book or the Harinam party or something. Therefore, we also have that responsibility to extend this incredibly powerful, merciful process to others. There's such a nice quote from Srila, if I can find it, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who says, Lord Chaitanya did not advent himself to liberate only a few men in India. Rather, his main objective was to emancipate all living entities of all countries throughout the entire universe and preach the eternal religion. There is no doubt that this unquestionable order will come to pass. Very soon, the unparalleled path of Harinam Sankirtan will be propagated all over the world. Oh, for that day when the fortunate English, French, Russian, German, and American people will take up banners, mirdungas, and kartals and raise kirtans through their streets and towns. When will that day come? That day will witness the holy transcendental ecstasy of the Vaishnav Dharma to be the only Dharma, and all the sects and religions will flow like rivers into the ocean of Vaishnav Dharma. When will that day come? Srila Prabhupada says in On the Way to Krishna that just always chant Hare Krishna. Never mind whether you're in a factory or in hell, in a shack or in a skyscraper. It doesn't matter. Just go on chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. There is no expense. There is no impediment. There is no caste. There is no creed. There is no color. Anyone can do it. Just chant and hear. Ishvara Puri to Lord Chaitanya. My dear child, continue dancing, chanting, and performing Sangirtan in association with devotees. Furthermore, go out and preach the value of chanting Krishna Nam. For by this purpose, by this process, you will be able to deliver all fallen souls. Srila Prabhupada quotes Prahlad Maharaj in the seventh canto. My dear Lord, I have no problems and I want no benediction from you, because I am quite satisfied to chant your holy name. This is sufficient for me, because whenever I chant, I immediately merge in an ocean of transcendental bliss. I only lament to see others bereft of your love. They are rotting in material activities for transcendental material pleasure and spoiling their lives, toiling all day and night simply for sense gratification, with no attachment for love of Godhead. I am simply lamenting for them and devising various plans to deliver them from the clutches of Maya. And then Srila Prabhupada says that Srila Bhakti Saraswati Thakur explains in his Anubhasya that a person who has attracted the attention of the spiritual master in his service, he likes to dance and chant with similarly developed Krishna conscious devotees. The spiritual master authorizes such a devotee to deliver fallen souls in all parts of the world. Those who are not advanced prefer to chant the Hare Krishna mantra in a solitary place. Such activities constitute, in the language of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, a type of cheating process, in the sense that they imitate the activities of exalted personalities like Srila Haridas Thakur. One should not attempt to imitate such exalted devotees. Rather, one should endeavor to preach the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in all parts of the world, and thus become successful in spiritual life. One is not very expert in preaching, may chant in a secluded place. So we can kind of, you know, this is very, very, very important, what we just read. And we should understand it and understand, I think we can understand a lot of the problems that we go through in Krishna consciousness in light of this. I experience it myself. When I chant in the association of devotees, kirtan, I experience shadow symptoms of pure love of God. And my mind, I experience, as do, you know, the devotees that I chant with, that, you know, please let this go on forever and ever and ever and ever. So this is the benefit we get by coming together in the association of devotees and in the pure atmosphere of the presence of the deities and chanting the holy name of the Lord. Now, to be able to deserve the great fortune we have, we need to take it out and give it to others. And therefore, we have this book distribution program where we go out and preach and distribute book distribution. And if we can't do that, we can go out on Harinam Sankirtan. And who can't go out on Harinam Sankirtan? How difficult is it? All you have to do is get out there, bring your body out there, and just open your mouth. And just, you don't even have to worry about saying anything. I guarantee it that sound will come. And when it does, gradually, you know, you'll start feeling some ecstasy. And when you look out and see all the people, like, it's like we go out to the Third Street Promenade, and all of a sudden people spontaneously, they start dancing in the kirtan party. And we're like, this is amazing. If these people are so affected by the power of the holy name, it must be having some effect on me, even though I can't feel anything. And so this is really important. So we should try to imbibe this understanding and apply this in our lives. And we have an ecstatic Harinam party that goes out tomorrow down to the art walk. There's 20,000 people downtown, all of them just waiting for the devotees to come and share with them the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. So all the devotees are invited, especially all the devotees who are in Los Angeles who are listening on the internet also. Harinam party leaves at what time, Ganesh?
6:00.
At 6:00. And it'll be totally ecstatic. We look forward to having your association. Thank you very much. I apologize for going way over. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam.